Drainage Department. All right, we're going to start. We're doing callback with conservation. And so in our last conversation, Laura's had another meeting. You had an assessor you had to go to. And so we ended up with lots and lots of conversations. Apparently the audio keeps resetting to the very beginning. And so our intent today is go back through and talk about a lot of different items. A couple of the high points that we hit on is, are we going to budget for things one time, or are we going to budget for them multiple times? And let's talk that through. We want to definitely talk about cabins and the proposal for the cabins, and then we want to talk about anything else, Mike, that you guys want to talk about as we get to a fairly solid consensus on where we're headed with the conservation budget.
Sure. Do you guys have these?
I'm printing mine.
Okay. All right. So we think that we captured the right process for viewing the money flow here. So what we did is go back on our CIP projects and look at it per year, what was budgeted, what was spent, what was remaining, and then we took that remaining from one year and carried that forward into the next year. And so that was our thought process for identifying, I think, the numbers that you would like this budget to reflect. Is that a correct analysis?
That's what I have suggested all the way through, I believe. I don't think we got to the end of that conversation, but that's where I'd be trying to steer this.
Okay. So we did that with the shower building. We did it with the Prairie Rail Trail. We did it with the lake renovation project.
So, can you hand me one of those?
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
You printed one work.
They're all printed off. Okay, thank you.
We did it with the Hickory Grove Lake renovation. We did it with the sewer, Hickory, and then we did it with the sensitive areas. So, at the top of each spreadsheet, we identify the project cost estimate. We identify what had been budgeted, and then the funds remaining at the end of the FY, where that project gets theoretically completed. So first off, Hickory Grove Shower Building, well, we're going to have that all wrapped up in FY17. So we don't need to reflect the shower building in the 18 budget.
Right.
So that's pretty... So I think, just again, to go over that kind of philosophy there, we budgeted $100 in 16. That was geared toward the design costs.
$100,000. Wouldn't it be great if it was only $100?
Yeah, $100. The whole project's only $822. at any rate, we carried the lion's share of that through into 17, used a portion of that for design, and then balance of that is remaining for construction right now. And so the budgeted amounts, if you look at that whole, so the capital cost plus the conservation trust fund comes up to what we think is the estimate for that project, the 822. The carryover gets zeroed out. Essentially, the carryover then, gets all spent.
Yeah, so the way we handle this one is the way I'm suggesting we handle all our projects, which is we put $100,000 in FY16, but we didn't spend it. We spent $2,500 of that.
Right.
We didn't budget that $100,000 new in the next year. We just budgeted the new $500,000, even though we had $97,000 sitting there. Then we utilized all of that and actually added to it another $100,000 in order to get it done. So the thing that's never been reflected in our budgeting process in this is that final $100,000 that the Board of Supervisors approved to spend extra, right? And so what I'm suggesting is, if this weren't going to be completed yet in this FY, then it would be appropriate to have budgeted that new 100,000, that additional 100,000 in the FY18, where it had never been reflected. The reason we don't do that in this case is the entire project is going to be done in FY17, so it doesn't make sense to budget something after we're done. But this, we handled this one, I believe, like I'm suggesting we handle everything. Okay. It just it felt like it was a hodgepodge on whether we were doing this or we were trying to reflect dollars in the end. Do we need to talk about the shower building anymore, or was that simply...
No, I just want to use that example. No. Then if you look at the...
Just before you go forward, have you been out there to look at it recently?
What's that?
The shower project, how they're coming along.
It's coming real well. I haven't been out there, but
okay,
it's coming along well.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they've got the concrete on that poured yet or not. Yeah, they were scheduled to pour it last week. I'm not sure if that happened or not.
Okay, well, thank you.
So Prairie Rail Trail, and I don't know if you have color copies in front of you. The red numbers are the numbers that that in going through this kind of process we determined or we need to alter in the either the re-estimated 17 or the proposed 18 with this rationale, with this process for identifying the funds. So, for example, looking at the Prairie Rail Trail, we budgeted $60,000 that first year. We spent $23,000. We had $36,000 left over. We budgeted $225,000 in 17. We carried over the $36,000. We're going to spend, we anticipate, $43,000. So that $43,000 probably is what gets re-estimated into FY17. And then that leaves us 218. So we carry the 218 into 18, and we anticipate, again, we have not gone to bid on this project. We're not ready yet. But at the current cost opinions, we anticipating needing 212 of that 218. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so we could have $6,000 left over.
So we don't need to budget
new money. You
want to
bet, by the way, once we get the cost of payments?
There you go. So we don't need to budget right at this point. We don't need to
budget
new money.
We have everything we need for this project already budgeted via FY16 and FY17. We don't need to budget anything at this point for 18 until we see cost opinions, which might, based on history, make us discuss whether we're going to need to put anything else in.
Right.
But best guess of what we know now, we're in good shape with dollars that we've already budgeted.
Correct.
Okay?
Correct. And, you know, another one, since this is a moving target, this project is still a moving target because we're still in the, we haven't finalized an alignment yet for the trail. So this is still very much in flux.
When do you anticipate that will happen?
So we're going through a legal process. I'm not sure.
We're talking zeroing.
Yeah. We're anticipating a potential need to go through
the
legal
process.
Who knew? You didn't know who had what?
Can you give me an overview of when you say a legal process?
We wanted to put the trail on the old railroad right of way, which comes into town from the west. So from Highway 65, it comes into the elevator. It's an old railroad right of way.
Well, it's what the rest of our trail is on.
It's what the rest of the trail is on. We have always thought that whole corridor into town was county property. It turns out that there's significant question whether or not that whole thing is county property. I think it ends before it gets to town. And so there's a portion of the trail there that right now we're calling for it to be on no man's land, and we can't construct on no man's land. So we need to figure that out, and it probably means that we may end up going through a quiet title procedure, or we have to look at a different alignment, and which would either take it to the north up along the right-of-way on, is that Main Street that goes into town there? I'm not sure what the name of that is.
I think it is.
West side of town. But or we go to the south and purchase an easement from landowners on the south. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Thank you. I think you actually told me about that one.
Yeah. So that's the unknowns at the moment with the Prairie Rail Trail.
Okay. So before we leave Prairie Rail Trail, what I'm hearing is our FY18 budget needs to reflect $0 for the Prairie Rail Trail.
Correct. And then we can re-estimate next year if that happens.
Right. Then we'll do our budget amendment and see what is still remaining. So for me, this is one project, even though it's taken multiple fiscal years to get it done. Okay?
Okay.
Any questions on Prairie Rail Trail? Okay.
Then we go on to Hickory Grove Lake renovation. In 17, we budgeted general fund expense of $100,000. Now, in 17 budget, we anticipated $450,000 coming in from the state and then us spending $550,000. So that net would be a $100,000 general fund expenditure. In this analysis, we did not look at that money coming in that we thought would be coming from the state, since right now it doesn't look like that will happen. So we took that out of the equation. So $450,000 from DNR in 17 is not going to happen.
That was 550, so that becomes 25 now.
What's that?
That 550 becomes 25 now.
Correct.
Wait,
so that should probably be
so.
On page 70,
Is everyone with us on that 25?
Yes, Paul. I don't agree with what we've done yet, so we can talk about that now, or we can go ahead and finish.
Because the DNR is now taking over the project, and we're doing 25% of the cost.
We had anticipated this project that we were going to manage it, that the money was going to flow through.
Right, absolutely. I got that. But that's a revenue impact and an expense impact.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And so it...
Okay.
It was in the 17 budget, it was an expense impact of $550,000. It was a revenue impact of
$450,000.
Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's not going to happen.
Right.
Now the state will manage it. They'll keep their money.
Okay.
And we need to pay them our portion.
Okay.
So none of this has... The trigger has not been pulled on any of this as far as the expending any of this money yet. But they are preparing to move forward with phase one of this three-phase project that they think is $100,000. So of that $550,000 picture that we were looking at, instead that the overall is going to be $100,000. Paid for by DNR,
right.
And then we would need to reimburse them for 25% of that. So therefore, our $100,000 general fund contribution becomes $25,000.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Right, but we're still in budget, so in my view, we budgeted $100,000. Because if there's many items that we say, okay, we're budgeting in the revenue side and we're budgeting the expense side, and if the revenue never comes in, we're just not going to spend it on the expense side. So that's $450 and $550. Mm-hmm. So you take the $450, we're never going to see that money.
Right.
So you have to pull that out on the expense side, or else you're not adequately reflecting what's happening. So we've got $100,000 sitting there, even though we're only going to spend $25.
Correct.
So you have $75 carry.
So if you look at this, that's what we did.
Okay.
We showed the budgeted amount of $100,000. And we said we're going to spend $25 of that, which leaves us $75 remaining.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we carry that $75 into 18.
Yep.
And we anticipate in 18 that we'll need $142,000.
Which would be our portion of that project.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And so therefore, we know we already have 75.
Right.
So then we need to budget the difference to get up to that 142.
Which is 67.5. And
correct.
I heard Lisa say something different. Didn't I hear you just say 142?
142.5, which is 67.5 plus 75,000.
Right.
Perfect. As long as 67.5 in FY18, I'm good.
Right. So that line becomes 67, right, just like you have.
Yep.
Okay.
So we showed an expense prior to today, we showed 347.5. That 347.5 becomes 67.5.
Perfect.
Yep.
And now let's spend 10 seconds on next year and what this board ought to expect to hear from you guys for FY19.
Mm-hmm.
No decisions yet made.
Right. So right now, you know, when this subject came up with the Conservation Board and then when we discussed it last week as well, there's, of course, a lot of question on what's on the drawdown method. And do we really want to spend, do we think it's appropriate to spend $500,000, estimated $500,000 on a drawdown pipe, a drawdown structure that gives us, you know, permanent ability to draw the lake down. So I've had follow-up discussions with DNR, and they're going to look into that a little bit more and get back with me. If we know going into it that the parties just are not interested in spending that amount of money, then we probably don't have to go through with an RFP that we had chatted about.
Right.
Right? So if we don't do that, at one point I think I gave you a kind of a breakdown on different scenarios with the project, one with a drawdown pipe and one without. So what we just discussed for 18, the 142,000, that is with a drawdown pipe.
Right.
If we end up we don't do that, then we can change that number back to 35,000.
From 142.
Correct.
So then we budget zero.
Correct. And we're still going to carry over into 19.
Whatever we're going to need to do the project
correct.
In 19.
Correct. So those are the scenarios the best we know right now.
All right. So then we've got to have a conversation right now about this concept of the drawdown pipe, since it impacts what we're talking about plugging into the budget. Somebody convince me that there is longer-term, multiple use in the foreseeable future for a drawdown pipe. I mean, are we really going to go in and drain this lake after we get it the way we want it?
Depends on what kind of time frame you're talking about.
Yeah, so I do the math long range. So if you told me that in 25 years or 50 years or whatever that we were going to draw it down, I'd say sure. But you don't spend this kind of money, in my mind, when you can draw it down other ways for less money, right? If you're only talking about every 25 to 50 years, then you spend less money to do it when you need to do it.
It depends. I would say what happens in that lake. If we can get everything done in terms of not only what happens in the lake, but what happens in the watershed a little bit, I can see some potential scenarios where the watershed would change so much that there'd be so much siltation coming in. And again, you might have to draw it down more frequently, but probably not for 20 or 25 years. That would be the outside, I would think, or the the nearest time frame.
Correct.
Longer time frame. When was the lake originally built?
70.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah, well, we're beyond 30. 5 years. Yeah. We're beyond where we should be.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So I think excluding unknowns, I think right. we'd probably be looking at that 25 to 40 year time frame.
Right, I agree.
Excluding any kind of extenuating issues. But
is there any flood mitigation value?
You got to really go out there and open that thing at certain times to draw down the lake. I mean, I don't see us doing that, and that's my problem. If there is some kind of value where you can convince me that every couple years we're going to be drawing down that lake to a level that it's not, get a couple pumps and get out there and pull
it. Would have been nice when we were doing shoreline protection in the last few years if we could have drawn it down, you know, to
sure.
that point.
But Jim, our
if
hope,
we get that done now,
our hope with this project
right.
is we get done
yeah.
and we get to let the lake go natural for a little while, right? We don't
right.
want a whole lot of intrusion
right.
if
right.
we do it the right way.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to re-ask the question I think I asked in the CIP, which is from an environmental concern, are there any environmental benefits to spending the extra money?
Probably not. Yeah.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
It's really a matter of... So I'm waiting at the moment. I don't feel a need that we need to have any kind of decisions on this today.
Except for what number we're plugging into the budget.
Correct. And so I've asked to plug in on the higher side just in case.
And I am going to ask that we go the other way and plug in on the lower side with the full understanding that if, as you guys explore this with DOT, you come back and you say, listen, we talked about it. There's huge environmental impacts by putting in this pipe. Now we need the additional $67,000 that you guys didn't put in our budget. I hope you're comfortable with this board's generic operation that we would love to have that conversation.
Sure.
I don't see plugging a number in that we don't know that we need. And then if we find out we need it down the road, we come back and we have that conversation.
Right.
When we know more.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're still dealing with some unknowns here on a going forward basis. I don't think you have the ability, and you do have solicited the knowledge you have, but fully telling us that it's just like there's more to be known or found out.
Right.
And as the short time I've been up here, the fact is, a worthy cause tends to get taken up rather well. And I can see where you want to do this. I like that. I just tickle peg. Because somewhere in the histories, I got to watch in my middle school days a film, a 16-millimeter film of the construction of this. And I wish it still existed. And maybe schools had it at one time. Where it went, God only knows. But the thing is, I wish that I had the ability to pull those reels out, dump them on you. You'd be fascinated how this came to be.
Absolutely.
The discomfort I have, as you're talking about, a substantially expensive one-time project. But the thing is, when you're trying to mitigate the rough fish in there, you want to re-vegetate the bottom of it, you want to do a causeway, you want to do the fishing jetties, what's not to like other than that number and that piece of paper?
So this board's been together a short time, but I still feel completely comfortable in saying to you on behalf of this board, we want to do things the right way, right? And so if you guys find that the right way is something different than what we budget to, let's have that conversation.
What you're saying is for FY18, rather than 142.5, you're wanting to see that be
zero. Instead of 67.5, we got 75 in there. I want to just zero it out, and then if you get to the point that it's going to cost you more than 75, then we would get talked during the year.
So with that kind of scenario, we would spend 35. In 18,
right.
And we would have a balance, a carryover from 17 of 75. So in the end, at the end of FY18, we're still going to have a balance of 40 that then theoretically we would carry into 19.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which the 40 gives us some ability to deal with any unknown cost that you have in terms of planning, mobilization, to try to get us ready to go, because everything I'm hearing is you want to try to get ready to go so that we can start to draw down the lake
this summer.
Right. Summer, fall.
Mike, I understand why you would want to ask for the 142. I have my concerns in some of the budgeting, too. It's like, ooh, what if it's not there? I brought it up related to human services. I do believe it's about priorities. And I think, this, as Rick says, this board believes Hickory Grove is our shining jewel, will continue to be our shining jewel. It has already suffered from probably the lack of moving forward already. So I think take some comfort that it's going to be a priority.
Yeah.
If, you know.
And so I agree with you, Laura, and we had this conversation when it came to some of the asset budgeting. But we'll have it again now. I am a firm believer that this is the appropriate way that we budget when we're talking about it to the low end of what our expected costs are, because in order to give full notice to the public about projects, the most opportune way to do that is have you guys come back and say, hey, rather than we had this conversation on a Tuesday in January and we put the maximum amount in there, and oh, by the way, we're not going to spend it or whatever, now if something changes, we get to come back and we get to have this conversation probably on a Tuesday morning and talk through. To me, the shower building is the perfect example. Let's talk through why we need an additional $100,000. I was skeptical of that, right? I mean, I asked some hard questions there. But the board came to, yeah, that $100,000 makes the most sense for us to do. And if we had just said a year ago, well, let's put $100,000 in there just in case that shower building is more than we thought, I don't think we give the public quite as much opportunity to weigh in.
I'll buy that for the second.
Yeah.
Sounds fine.
If I'm putting 110 in the line item 624 for next year, 75 and 35?
No.
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 Zero for next year. We're carrying over 75, and we only need 35. That's why we have each other.
You are getting a letter.
I don't feel that way.
You would do that understory that you're on.
I'd have to do anything
to get the FedEx driver, he doesn't get to stay up for like.
That's right.
That's my youth, and I didn't have to worry about getting a bed.
All right, so are we done on the Hickory Grove renovation for FY18 with full recognition, board, that this is going to be a major ask for FY19, mm-hmm. and we're going to know more about what that ask looks like.
Yep.
Okay? Mike, what's next?
Sewer.
Such a lovely topic.
Lovely topic. So, in 16, Lisa, are you all wrapped up, ready to go? Okay. In 16, we amended the budget, and we've got $190,000 that we had in the project, and this is all of the funds for the sewer to date have been conservation reserve. They're not general fund. They're conservation reserve funds, which come out of the camping revenue. So, we had 190 in the budget in 16. We didn't spend anything. We carried all of that into 17. We still haven't spent anything. So now we're at a balance of 2, and we budgeted another 95. Now we're at a balance of 285 in the project, and in 18, we're carrying the 285 forward, and to get to the 446, which is our current low estimate on this project, and when I say that's the low estimate, that is the estimate that would take the abandon the current lagoon, put in a holding tank and a lift station, and force that then to twin anchors where it can connect to other Central Iowa Water wastewater line that goes into Colo. that's the low end budget for that, 446. And so in order to meet that 446, assuming we can come to a, and this might be another, you know, discussion along those same lines, but again, this is reserve funding. In order to meet that 446, then we would budget 162.
Yep.
Now, that would take us, make us whole up to that
446,
right?
Which is one version of the project that we don't, but it's the low version of the project, right? Every other version of the project is higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
So that lines up exactly with what I'm asking us to do. So we've got in what we looked at originally, 158 plugged in for this. So we're asking for $3,000 more for FY18 than we plugged in originally before this, we talked about it.
Correct, and we had anticipated, we plugged in 158 into this project because we thought we were, that was going to be our camping revenue in 18, 158,000. With the Hickory Grove Lake project coming online, we're anticipating that that 158 go down to 138. But still, if we were going to make this whole, that means we would draw off of the reserve account the difference between 138 and 161.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But 161 is what we think we need to plug in from a cost perspective, not offsetting it with camping revenue or anything else. From a cost perspective, the low end to get this project done is 446.
Correct.
And I think it needs to be done. And so it doesn't make sense to me that we're going to spend the money we're spending on water quality issues out there, and we've got a lagoon system that, am I right or wrong, did I dream that somebody went out in a boat in the middle of the lagoon to find some dye that we ran through the system to see if it
was? Yeah, we did that.
We did that. So we need to get this handled.
Well, does this, you know, here's the new guy's question. Doesn't this all be predicated on the city of Cobos?
Yes.
That's the 446, right?
That's
the 446 is us piping this
to COA.
Over to COA. If COA says no, we've got to come up with a whole different
scenario changes.
Right.
Can I ask this before I forget? And through all the conversations in COA here and about this project and this in specific, you know, we have the trailer court set right there. Do we think or have a suspicion or we were pretty comfortable saying that they either might have an influence on water quality at Hickory Grove or they don't?
They don't.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's the answer I was hoping to hear. Okay. Because the things that are right, they are a neighbor on a multi-structural dwelling basis where there are a lot of people, and I was hoping that we had no suspicions that they might be, you know, conflicting with our goals here.
No, the question is, do they have impact on downstream?
Correct.
Hickory Grove, and the answer to that is yes.
Okay, well, that's clarity, that's depth, and that's what I'm looking for, because the thing is, okay, we have somebody in the neighborhood here, and then maybe we need to be talking to them about mitigation basis, too. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no, I think if Colo says no to us, I think all options are on the table. I don't know how much I'm infatuated with an option that includes the park, the trailer court, but I think all options need to be on the table if Colo says no.
So, and we have the numbers on those options, whether or not we co-op with the mobile home court or not, we have those numbers. And so just thus far to date, the communication with the mobile home court has not been one that has made me feel good about co-oping with them.
Good.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, we are checking.
Yeah.
And so it feels to me like this is a project that if we plug the dollars in like I hope we do, the 161, to get us to, COA says yes, now we can do it, we're good to go.
Then we're good. Yep.
If they say no, then my vision on this is this actually extends this project out another year, and we come back again and say, okay, here's our new plan. We now have $446,000 available, but this one's going to cost us $750,000. We need an additional $300,000 to make this project go, but that would be an FY19 conversation.
Correct. So moving from that 446, the next option, again, COLO off the, if COLO was off the table, the next option, if you were to discount the mobile home court, and I think that the numbers are pretty, are very similar, whether or not you discount the mobile home court, but roughly a $700,000 project, and that would be to build new storage units.
Yep. And let's go back to what you said, though, that if we have to go on our own and we're at the 700,000, that you would move it out a year, the whole project. I think, isn't this 7 years overdue to begin with?
We've got a lagoon that is limping by. There's no question it's overdue, but that, and that's a conversation that the board can fully have. So if Mike comes back and he says in the hall, he says, hey, COLO said no to us, so now we got a choice. We can either do nothing for the rest of FY18, the next 9 months, right, if he comes to us in October of next year, or we can plug an additional $250,000 in and try to go ahead and start this project now. The reality is it's still not going to get done at that point until FY19.
I understand, but I as we move through your projects, I'm going to come back to priorities. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we are 7 years overdue on something that the lagoon's limping around, and if it fails one day, this is conservation, this is water quality, this is everything.
Right, no question.
We've been trying pretty heartily for a number of years now to make this whole, and we've looked at several scenarios, and every time it's come down to whether we have the engineers telling us the right stuff or not, and whether there's cooperation from COLO or not, and it's a tough one. So we've been trying to do this.
Yeah, we keep thinking the answer. This actually, amazingly enough, has not, in the last 4 years anyway, this has not been a funding issue that has allowed us to get to the end. And so I'm with you. When it's funding, then it becomes priorities, right? You either spend your money here or there. This one I have not viewed as that. This has been a priority, and so more as much from a budgetary perspective as a timing perspective. I just think if we don't get to go to COLO, this isn't happening in FY18. There's just not time to get a new plan done and get everything going.
In 18.
Well, I think it's a management priority, though, too. I hear. I mean, you know, for 3 years you didn't have any option because of the funding situation. For the last four, there's been money to have found to do this, and a decision was made to do other things instead, and that's a management decision. Because you could have gone ahead and just said, forget about COLO. And you could have gone in and you could have redone this at $700,000.
But wouldn't that have been the lesser of the two? No, I think my preference would have been that you see it going into a treatment plant and up COLO.
I agree it was lesser of the two. But
that's what I'm saying. I'm not falling in love with the runner.
So, Loris, I think what you're suggesting,
that it is a prioritization issue, I think that's exactly what's happening now.
You may disagree with the priorities that were put out there, that we chose to do some water quality stuff in Hickory Grove, or we chose to do some other things.
I don't disagree with that.
If you want to go to Dakin's Lake and suggest that somehow those dollars could have been spent, I get where you're coming from, but I think we've been using the exact mechanism to get through to make these decisions that you're suggesting we should use. You just may not agree with the result that we came to when we used that mechanism.
Okay.
Our rationale has been to try to get the treatment out of the immediate park area.
Right.
And we think that from an environmental standpoint, that's best for the park, that's best for the kind of messages that we're trying to send about the park and the water quality of that 4,000-acre watershed. And it puts that load onto COLO, which has, you know, the inevitably that's the best way to handle that sewer,
for
that
us.
Wastewater, yeah. For us, is to handle it through them. They have a good system. They keep track of it well. They manage it well. And so that seems to be, for us, the best way to go. if we have to do on-site treatment, then we're not getting it out of that area. And there's still kind of could always be the question about the impact of that with the lake. We're trying to get away from those kinds of questions. And then we've got to, you know, then we're in the sewer business. And we have to get a certified operator, and we have to, you know, do this and that. Let's let the professionals do that.
Okay. What does happen if the lagoon fails? Because I appreciate you explaining that about the where your priority, where your management decisions came in. So would you say if one thing along, all right, please explain to me one thing along. Are we holding it together with duct tape and ceiling wire, or the equivalent of for a lagoon? Or
we had an engineering report done by Boltman Mink, was the engineering firm that did it, and they said that it is functioning. Okay. However, it's just not designed well. It's fairly close to the water table, and in the long run, they thought that we should get it out of there. For the long run, or the long view of our environmental stewardship, that we should get it out of there.
They're not saying it's going to fall apart in the next year or
no,
anything.
Okay. No. And so they said in this report that we should not add load to that. They said that we should not add load to it. And we haven't. And I know that was a discussion when we talked about the shower building, the storm shelter. Are we adding load? Okay. We're not adding load with that. And so, you know, therefore we went with those decisions. But we would like to add load.
Sure
we
would.
And so this is that low-hanging fruit that's holding us back. This is the bottleneck.
It's not only low-hanging fruit, but it's a structure that was designed 30-plus years ago.
50.
Yeah, I mean, it's a structure that was...
He just made you younger.
You and a couple of...
And it is at the end of its usable life, even though it's still functioning. It's at the end of its usable life, and we can't do any of the enhancements out there that we want to do. And so I think everybody's on board with you that we like to get to the end. And I feel a little like Thomas Edison in this whole process, because we keep thinking that we've got an answer, right? We keep thinking, okay, here's the answer, here's what we're going to do, and then we find out, oh, no, that's not the answer. So then it's back, if not all the way back to square one, it's back four or five steps, and then we start again and we come.
Right.
And that's exactly where we are now, and we hope we're going to get to the end of COLO. My only point was, if that doesn't happen, it's not like we're just ready to go to the next thing.
Okay.
All
right.
Just for clarity's sake, I think Morris is making a good point, but this is, I'm bottom lining here. This structure, as it exists, as we use it, is not impacting the water quality of Hickory Grove, correct?
No.
Correct. And actually operating as it was designed to operate, even though it's...
Correct.
We have got to be toward the end of its life cycle.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and
absolutely.
That's your concern, Morrison. I get
concern.
That.
Yeah. We were amazed when we saw the dye, right? So now I'm going back to these people out in a boat.
So you're familiar. When we were getting ready to sign contracts on the shower building, we went through our internal review. We discussed the sewer loading at that time. Margaret did a dye test, so dumped dye in at the shower building and, you know, wanted to see, does that dye make it out to the lagoon? And at that point, I don't think we didn't have any ice on there, but it was very difficult to see anything. And so that was the only way we had that we could see something. And so, yes, we put a boat on there and did find the dye. But it was very hard to see from shore because of all the algae, and you can imagine it wasn't a pleasant path. At any rate.
So can we plug in 161?
Yes.
You good with that?
We're good with that. Good. Because this is something we will do.
We're doing something.
We get a yes from our neighbors at COLO.
You're the COLA guy. You deal with that.
I've asked them. They're on the fence. They generally, I have this conversation, I guess, on a background basis, as they try to do a new housing project in there, they know they're going to need that. The fathers of COLA, which is a conversation we had with the city of COLA 50 years ago when they were building their lagoon, thinking like, hey, we know that we need this. This is something we're going to foresee. We'd like to do on an expansion basis and grow Hickory Grove, but nobody was that wise. And so they're moving towards their cap, and they think their inclination is to give it to new housing as opposed to Hickory Grove. But the die is not cast on this, so I think we still got a chance.
And they have some leaks in their system, too.
Well, I haven't heard anything about that, but okay.
That's the other thing that made me chuckle is even the new systems, you got real fear. So us building our own new system out there, you still got the fear of failure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, if we can get it away from this, we get it away.
Right. Sensitive areas?
So, 16, we, let's see, re-estimated in at 87.5. Of that, we spent 35, remained 52, et cetera. In 17, we budgeted 40. We broke this into, I think last year at this time, we broke this into a three-year process. And so we anticipated the second year that we would need 40. So we're carrying 5,200 over. We're saying we're going to spend that 40, still anticipated. So we carry that 52 another year, and then we realize that 52 in FY18 when we say we would need to budget, 26,250.
Which gets us to the $75,000.
Gets us to the 75.
And was this a C2C item?
Yes.
No. Let's see. Where was that reflected in this budget?
On page 76, under contractual labor. In the middle of contractual labor.
Yeah. 26,250. Perfect. All right. So I'm good there. Anybody have a question there? That's not a change from what we saw.
Oh.
Okay, do we have anything else to discuss before we start talking about cabinets?
That was all we had on projects, unless there's any other questions before cabinets.
Let's see if I had any other notes.
Just for clarity's sake, I'm going forward basis. You're still checking on wet dredge,
yes,
piping and all that stuff.
Yep.
There's still information you, as a board, are soliciting to bring back.
Correct.
Okay, good. That's my takeaway then. Thank you.
Yep.
The 150 for Tedesco work, Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor, I got to get used to saying that, work, is 150 in and out from DOT.
Correct.
Okay. All right, now I'm good. Let's talk cabins.
You want to start? Or?
How about let's let Mike start and then you come in? Yep.
There. Some of those long tables where there any extras.
Do we have any more?
There they are.
The keeper of the tambourine.
Yeah, she was.
All right, so Mike, I'm asking you to re-kick off this conversation.
You bet.
And then we'll go to Loris, and then we'll have a full conversation.
You bet. So, you know, when we did the planning for Dakin's Lake, we identified three potential cabin sites there, and we designed with that accordingly. We pulled them out of the project because we didn't have the money to construct at that time. We built infrastructure with the idea that they would go in. So, i.e., there's enough power there, there's enough sewer capacity there, etc. Everything is prepared for these cabins. So, now jump ahead. We've got the park open, park's doing well, and now we're at that point where we feel it's appropriate to have that discussion again about putting these cabins in. in the big picture, we kind of always thought that the Hickory Grove cabins would come forward sooner than Dakin's Lake cabins. As we just discussed, those aren't the cards that we're dealt right now. And so we'd like to, you know, the cabins continue to be a camping method that the people request. And so now we're at that point where let's move forward with some cabins there at the park. So I reached out to a few counties here and asked them on just some of the statistics on their cabins and cabin usage. You'll see, and that's what you have in front of you here, kind of a synopsis on some of those cabins. A couple of things to note. One is, as far as occupancy goes, that the larger cabins have a higher occupancy, average annual occupancy, than the smaller cabins. I compared the cabins that are greater than 8 people. So in this spreadsheet, it's the 10s and 10s, 12s, and 15s. They have an average annual occupancy of 160 nights. And the 6 and 8 size cabins have an annual rate of about 135. In my conversations with counterparts in other counties, it's very clear that they are noticing that trend and wanting to now design cabins, build cabins that are larger. Larger groups can get in, and larger families can get in, etc. And so that's the trend we're seeing. We're also seeing a trend that those cabins are, and I gave you some of the payoff, or the return values on here, and you can see it kind of runs the gamut from 3-year payback to one that says a 28-year payback. That's kind of an outlier there, but that was a historic cabin.
I would imagine that they spent a lot of money.
A lot of money. You see, there's 4.5, there's 8 years, there's 7 years, 4 years, etc. So most of the counties are using cabins as an added user amenity, a way to get more people out into the parks that maybe wouldn't come if there weren't cabins, and B, a revenue stream. So we've in the proposed budget we have $500,000 in there for two cabins, with the idea that those are larger cabins. So if I were to, and you guys all have the recent one here that has the kind of the calculated ROIs at the bottom, the two scenarios, one for larger cabin and one for smaller cabin. And we tried to anticipate, what our estimated usage into the demographics that are shown here. Okay? So we're saying that, just to give you an example, if you look at the green one there, that's the larger cabins. We're saying, okay, right now we've got an average of 160 occupancy. We're saying, well, year one, 100, and so forth. And base the fee, kind of introductory fee, etc. And you can go through the rubric on the rest of that math. That HM tax is hotel motel tax. So you take the income minus the maintenance fee minus the hotel motel tax gives you the amount that would be available for payoff. And then that cumulative payoff that's the running total. So if we looked at a scenario that says we're going to spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $240,000 per cabin, that gives you an 8-year payback with this kind of scenario. So there is lots of subjectivity in it. We've based it at the best kind of prognosis that we have available. But that's not to say that that's ironclad by any stretch.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I like apples to apples, Mike. All right. So maybe because I'm from Iowa, right, North Iowa, and Clear Lake's there. Okay. So, and I know you're from Marshalltown. So let's talk apples to apples about where your numbers come from, your estimates, starting with the first sheet I got here when you had, when I asked for numbers and the next day. Okay. So, let's see. Briggs Wood Park Cabins. It's a 550-acre park. It has an 18-hole golf course with a clubhouse and a pro shop. It has Wi-Fi in the park. It has trails and timber, prairie, and a multi-use trail. You can swim there. There's a beach there. You can fish there. I saw canoes, but I didn't see boating listed, so I assume it's a no-wake situation. And it is surrounded by mature trees. So then I went to Little Wall Lake Cabins. It has Wi-Fi in the park, walking trails, boating is allowed, so you can put a actual motor on there. Swimming is allowed, fishing is allowed, it has a beach. And it is rated the number one county park in Iowa per one of the large trip advisor type associations. Okay? Once again, it has mature trees. So then I got the second group of cabins here, all right? Do we agree that Dakin's Lake has none?
No.
Great fishing.
Yeah. You can fish, you can hike, but not the same level. No.
Okay. All right. So then I went and gave us the Lynn ones and the Marion ones. So I appreciated you'd expanded a little bit what the amenities were there. We don't have any playground at Dakin's Lake. And the Lynn County ones are.
We have a playground.
We have a playground there?
Yeah. In the campground.
Yep. Okay, I stand corrected. Sorry. Okay. All right. Wooded Bluff Swimming, there's swimming right nearby, part of the attractions. So then I went to the Marion one. And, of course, Red Rock is the largest lake in Iowa. All right. So we've obviously got boating there. We've got fishing. They have an excavation tower. There's swimming. There's the trail, playground. They also offer very close by disc golf and boating. So, like I said, I like apples to apples. So that is one thing that put these numbers out, and we've got the new one today with the figures. I personally am having trouble understanding where we should estimate that we would be able to pay off those two cabins in 8 years based upon the rentability of them when everybody else that we've been given has many more amenities and is much more attractive.
Yeah, I would go just the other way. And first of all, I think the point, and this is the last thing I heard Mike say, the point that we don't know, I think, is a great point. I think you're dead on. But we don't know. We don't know if a new park with the cleanest water in the state of Iowa in a really small town, rural, quiet kind of setting is appealing or not appealing. I can sure make the case for a guy like me, I'd much rather go somewhere where it's quiet. You know, I like going up on the Mississippi River Bluffs in Wisconsin and getting a cabin out in the middle of nowhere where I can just chill out. And so what I think he's given us, if we compare it to any, I'll be glad to come back to you, and I hope we can just have this full conversation. It's not a big deal. We're going to talk this all the way through. We're going to come to a decision. If he tried to compare these cabins to any one other cabin or place, then I think you can absolutely make the case that, although that's not comparable because of X, Y, and Z. But when you compare it to, how many is here, 20? 20 different places. Are there going to be some differences? Sure. But are there going to be some similarities? Absolutely. And when you start to see some consistency through this, number of nights, things like that, then all of a sudden is where I start to get comfortable, because I like apples to apples, but even more than apples to apples, I like a broad swath of statistical data, because if you get a broad enough swath, you can pretty well predict or reasonably predict what's going to happen in the future.
I agree with you on that, Rick, and my concern is that none of these are cabins with no nearby amenities except for fishing on a no-wake lake. That's, I guess you've made my point in reverse. Where are the cabins sitting out in the middle of the country near a very small town with no major amenities nearby that would fit in with the recreational lifestyle? That's just my question. So my other issue, I said priorities, and I'm going to come to it later. I've come back to it, all right? I made a list of my priorities, and I'm sorry I didn't grab them. They start with what we are mandatory required by law to do. And then they go towards safety. And then they go toward relieving suffering and relieving the types of things that maybe we can help with. And then they go to economic development with roads and moving around, moving people from place to place. And then they go to things that can serve a great many people, like trails do, okay, that we can offer a quality of life to a great many citizens. And everyone can benefit from. And so the cabins are very low on, obviously, what would be my priority list of what I think a county should be doing. Now, given all that, where I kind of got keyed up here had to do with how it was to be funded. And that was a loan from the general fund. And that was the one that's saying that we're going to tie up $500,000 out of general fund money. And when I hear general fund, to be clear, I'm thinking real general fund, not the $1.6 million that you have as a result of the Dakota Access compromise, okay, even though it's sitting in the general fund fund balance, all right? I mean, why would we commit for 8 years, assuming even your payback, all right, it's 4 or 5 years before we're really getting back to getting those funds to once again use all the priorities I have? I am perfectly comfortable with, if you guys think this is such an important priority, you taking it out of your $1.6 million. I understand it's but you know, if you want to say we're going to take $500,000 of the $1.6 that we are going to have to spend overall from the Dakota Access Project, and then we're going to delay doing with whatever we would have done with that $500,000, then I say you go for it.
Well, but I thought that was the conversation we were having, where we were talking about the 1.6 in the general fund. You take 500 out of that, but then you turn around and you pay it back over X number of years,
that,
whatever it is.
See, that is the conversation I never understood we were having. I'd understood the 1.6 were in addition. If we are in fact having that same conversation, that you're just going to take it out of the 1.6.
I need to talk a little bit about the 1.6. I'm feeling like we've got a hammer and we're hitting everything with it. I've heard Dakota Access pipeline money 6 times in the last week now.
Okay.
I was a victim of misuse of money in that way in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see it happen here. Mm-hmm. I would like to suggest we hold off on using that money any further until the board can recreate its strategic plan and match that money accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that is the best way to make sure we're using that money appropriately instead of having it go off to fill a gap somewhere or we're willy-nilly. And I don't see cabins, personally, as appropriate because it's a business enterprise. It is a part of doing business. It would be like building a new, you know, office building. It's the operations. It's not education. It's basically putting in money to bring in money. It's not a trail. So I don't even find it appropriate to take out of that 1.6. I want to see things that need to be securing land, water quality, trails, things that would have been a problem if the pipeline doesn't work well, right? It's almost one for one. In fact, there are people on the Trails Committee who think it should just go totally into redoing the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail because that's where the pipeline went. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to be much more strategic. That's my thinking. I don't know, Jim, if you wanted to add anything.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that money needs to be used strategically. And we haven't, quite honestly, beyond what we said in the fall, that we want to use it for, we want to see it used for conservation.
In our action last Monday night.
Right. that we haven't had that conversation, and we certainly haven't had a conversation about using it for cabins. We would need to do that before.
Yeah, so, but I view it, so first of all, I view it as amenities. Secondly, I don't view this conversation.
If the Conservation Board, and I'm sorry that I assumed you guys had talked about something you hadn't talked about, the Conservation Board utilized that, what was it, $24,000, not because we think long-term we're really going to use that $24,000 to buy Jordan, right? But because we had to utilize those dollars, or at least earmark those dollars today in order to be able to get the $308,000 grant. And now the reality is either we're going to fundraise that full amount or we're going to dip into that Energy Transfer Partners 1.6 in order to get it done. But it was leveraging, which is what I remember us talking about all the way through, leveraging those dollars to be able to do some things today with a longer-term payoff or leveraging some kind of grants. And that's exactly how I'm viewing these cabins. This is a conservation enterprise. I think you're 100% right, Nancy. It's an enterprise. But it's a conservation enterprise. And so I was going through this, and maybe my semantics just got screwed up, because I've been viewing that these Energy Transfer Partner dollars, the reality is those are general fund dollars. They are. The Board of Supervisors, the previous Board of Supervisors, took the step of saying we're going to kind of informally, because that's what we did, more, is that when? Okay. We're going to formally carve that off and say to the Conservation Board, we're counting on you guys to determine how these dollars are used, and I'm not viewing it. So everybody else seems to be viewing this as a $500,000 expenditure. I'm not viewing it that way. I'm viewing it as the potential of doing something today that we have a payoff on, that those funds are allocated to go back in to replenish this. And so in my mind, the 1.6 is still 1.6. It's just 500,000 of it is not accessible on a sliding scale over X number of years. If I've missed on that, I've missed, because I tend to agree, if we're just talking flat out general fund dollars, while we did find out today our ending fund balances total, including general fund and some other things, are about $20 million today, I'm with you on, we got to be real, real careful about funds that can appropriately be used. Enough. I want flexibility. I don't want to limit our flexibility. I thought that's the conversation we were having, and so I'm sorry if I've missed on all that. But I don't view it as using the money. I view it as utilizing the dollars in order to get an amenity that we receive money back.
Yeah, I just don't think that we've had the conversation that we need to have at the board level to be able to say that we would agree to using that money now for cabins, even as a payback. The difference was not only the amount, Rick, but it was also the fact that in order to access $375,000 of that money, we had to guarantee it.
Absolutely.
Where we had some money that we could guarantee it. We don't anticipate actually using that 24. We expect to raise it. So.
Right, and so the conversation on Dakin's Lake specifically with the cabins, when we first designed Dakin's Lake,
we talked about cabins, and we ended up cutting them out and said, let's do it out of future revenues from we can't afford it right now.
Right.
Let's see what future revenues at Dakin's Lake are going to be, and then we'll talk about cabins. Right. And I've gone down this entire conversation thinking that this the flexibility offered to us from the Energy Transfer Partner payment gave us the ability to look at speeding that up, unless there is a place that you think short-term. I guess I viewed that 1.6 in longer terms than maybe some of us are viewing it. I viewed that 1.6 as almost a revolving kind of thing. Eventually, clearly, we're going to eat into it. We're going to have trail projects. We're going to have all kinds of projects that you guys are going to come up with. But I thought this was one of those that I viewed more in that revolving way, that we could do something sooner rather than later.
We haven't had that conversation.
Well, it needs to happen, and it needs to start with you guys then.
Yep. So just to kind of go onward from this, as we listen to these budget hearings
so far for me, listening with a new set of ears on this side, I've heard two projects so far that have, one is the animal shelter, just some little money. I'm talking about $500,000 out of the general fund to compare to. About, we've got a situation where we have animals who are not receiving any exposure to natural light at all. It's very, and so we now have an existing building, and we need to make some repairs, not only ordered by the fire code, but yes, it is my pet project, pet being, okay, fine, that. But that's not going to eat up $500,000, by the way. But I've also sat here and listened to the facilities manager who has talked and wants a shed to put his equipment in. And so I asked him, how many years, life years, do we lose on our equipment because it's all that's sitting outside? 4 to 5 on equipment, in addition to, as it was pointed out, the time that it takes staff then when it comes to activate that equipment to know whether the elements have done anything or whatever. So I'm going to end with priorities because I think I probably banged my drum a lot, okay? Is that if I were to take $500,000 out of the actual general fund right now to put it into a capital improvement project that was not just absolutely needed to be done, I'd be looking at those two ways because I think there's a bigger argument for them than to take $500,000.
Yeah, so absolutely agree with the premise. I'm going to add one factor to the calculation that I would hope you would use because it's different on these three projects. And that is any kind of return on investment, right? We do things because we have to, because we need to, or because there's some kind of return that we're getting back from it. The animals, you do that one because it's the right thing to do, right? There's no return on investment for doing that. It's not like more people are going to adopt animals because there's natural light in there. As far as the equipment goes, yeah, there's a return in terms of extra staff time in return, but in terms of paying off a building like that, you know, you're 50 years before you pay one off. This one does have a reasonable, whatever, X number of years, right? But the X is somewhere between 6 and 12. But X number of years of payback on something like this, and it makes it a little... It makes one more calculus that you need to put in when you're making decisions. The other thing is available funds that could not be used for those other projects. If you're throwing it all in one pot and saying we got a limited amount of money and we got a party, then that's a straight comparison. This is a standalone. Once Conservation Board has its full conversation and determines where it wants to go with it.
So it sounds like what I'm hearing is that we have a potential to put it in the budget for FY18. If we're looking at the $1.6 million.
If you're looking at utilizing the $1.6 million for the upfront cost of the cabins, then I don't think this is a hard conversation. It's the reason I haven't thought this is a hard conversation all the way through. I thought it fit with the criteria you guys had put forward in terms of amendments. In my mind, it clearly fits in terms of a payback model, right, where you're getting something back. Because what we aren't looking at is what our cost benefit is in years 15 through 20 while those things are still in relatively, yeah, we're going to be spending a little more to maintain them, but they're still in relatively good shape, but we don't have anything that we're paying off over on the other side. And so I think there's some decisions to be made there.
So for today's conversation,
yep.
Leave it in as $500,000, and we go and have the conversation with our board.
Yep.
And if we find we don't want to do it, then we can remove it, right?
Yeah.
We can always remove it.
I would think that'd be...
Right up to March 14th.
I guess, sitting up here, and with previous board voted to nest this, my suspicions was the fact that we would use this as a leveraging tool because you've got a pretty profound demonstrated history of soliciting contributions.
Right.
And the thing is that we're evolving a pot of money, for lack of a better term. But I like the fact that it has the ability to pay for itself and return you a revenue stream that regenerates. But what I'm looking for when you do come back after you've had your discussions, tell me what you want to do with these dollars. I would have think. My suspicion would have been if somebody in an organization that I was part of
So all of a sudden, on day one, you don't have $1.6 million, and on day two, you do. This conversation would already been had. Because the thing is, I mean, it gives me an insight into what you are looking to, what you value, where you want to go.
Our strategic plan didn't anticipate $1.6 million.
That's a good problem.
Either it's maybe a good problem to have, but it could also be a negative.
Well, I look forward to being educated.
Okay.
Jim, I really do. I guess this is one of those that we had just taken in when the project concluded. We had thought that this is something that conservation would be at best used.
Sure.
So we put it in, you know, almost in escrow in general. Mm-hmm. And then we come back to the fact that just like as we try to add to the amenities of all the facilities we have around the county, here's a good place to start because the conversation was had when it came out of the ground. So to me, it's just a natural because as Dakin's stopped being what it was and become what it is today,
right.
This is part of that conversation. So to me, I had come from the fact this is just, you know, if you had the dollars then, you'd already done it. You have the dollars today. And that's where I sat, but I'm looking for you at it, you know, okay, talk amongst yourself, come back to us.
Yeah. Right. That's helpful. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so there's, I mean, you know, the Storm Chair Program, there's very little doubt in my mind that if we had gotten to 1.6 as we were finishing off our plans for Dakin's Lake, we already have to get another problem. So, you guys have
it. But I wouldn't change guarantee.
Like I said, it would have been a good comeback.
It would have been a very tough conversation.
So let's do this. We'll leave the 500 in. You guys need to have the conversation and just figure out whether. So now Mike gets to pitch these numbers to the conservation board, and you guys got to figure out what it is. I feel comfortable in saying that the board of supervisors is going to lean very heavily in on whatever recommendation you guys make, since these are already dollars that we have shifted into your silo.
Great.
Okay.
Very helpful. Thank you.
What else we need to talk about today?
That's all we have.
Listen, I have one question. You shifted a lot of the partners, the dollars that you used to pay out of there into the general fund now. Our question is, any meals that you're providing, any of your, is any of that included in there? We when we pay for food, we have to
justify
the public profit. Yeah. Yeah, we when we have our audits, that's something they pay very close attention to.
Okay. Well, the Partners Festival does have food.
Okay.
And we receive donations for that. They have an annual meeting every other year that I think they buy food for.
Are you paying for this out of the general fund, or are you paying for this out of the general fund?
Out of the partners' money.
Okay, so yes. It's not run through. We weren't clear with how everything.
I still want the statement that you put on there about the donations or the fees.
Part of the program.
Part of the program. Okay. And cover the cost.
Okay.
But I just want to. We just want to make sure you fully understand that you're going to move some of those costs and some of those food from the for partners. It's going to be prepared to make sure you have met the public purpose.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think we do as much out of partners as we do with the volunteer or the board. But yeah, I'll just put a flag on that.
Don't remind me.
Don't remind me. Absolutely.
Anything else for us to discuss? So I updated the board today on the meeting yesterday and the upcoming January 31st public open house.
Correct.
Anything you want to add your views of those meetings? My stance was we are now at the beginning of the beginning of this.
Correct.
And we've got a pretty good draft plan that is going to give the public an opportunity to really weigh in and see what this thing does.
Correct. And so we hope we get a good turnout on the 31st. We've got a pretty good, you know, good plan right now. Yeah, it'll go through and get some tweaks, and we'll see what the public wants and move forward. We still have some real concerns. with it. Of course, you know that the price tag is over what we've anticipated, and we need to figure out how we're going to address that. But yeah, it's a good plan. We had a good representation from folks through our review process, and very good partnerships coming about through this work. City of Ames was well represented yesterday at our review with two folks. Their Parks and Rec director, and then Tracy from their Public Works department. Steve Carter was there from the Research Park.
That was the first one of those he's attended.
Yeah, it was the first one. Yeah, so that was great to have him there. We're moving forward with drafting a media plan for the whole project, and working with Leanne and Research Park folks on that. And so that's moving forward. So yeah, it's we are at the beginning for sure.
So, Mike, from a timeline standpoint, you have the open house on the 31st, and then let's say some members of the public make some suggestions, which, as we pointed out this morning early, do they say cut? So they're going to come back with some additional suggestions, of course. And then what happens at that point from the conservation board and moving forward?
Well, we adopt a plan at some point. That would be the next thing. So we, in order to adopt a plan, of course, there's going to want to be answers with where is the funding, and so those are next things in line. Now,
there'll be some revisions based on the input from the public.
Right.
So, but the way it's broken out now, so it's three phases with right. this project, and it looks to me like what's going to end up happening is some of those phase three items are going to be contingent upon the identification of funding.
Well, right now we've got a phase one shortfall that's very real. That we think that number will continue to be revised. I mean, it's at the high level right now as just in the process of where we are with planning. We've got a phase two shortfall, anticipated shortfall as well. And then phase three is a little under what we anticipated. So, you know, we're looking at essentially $250,000 right now shortfall in phase one. Phase two has about a $400,000 shortfall. Phase three is a little under. So
I'm viewing it as one project, so maybe you and I are viewing it. So you're viewing your funding, your existing funding is the 1.5 from Story County and the 150 from DOT.
And that's phase one to you.
And that's phase
one. I'm not looking at that as phase one. I'm looking at that as the first round of funding with a conversation for the Board of Supervisors coming in this summer on what we do. So the Board of Supervisors, previous Board of Supervisors, but still binds this board unless we take action to undo it, we didn't commit to the build-out that was exactly what is designed, but we committed to a build-out that accomplishes certain things, and as I see it, and this is really rough, but that commitment that was made was 1.5151.
Right.
But I didn't view it in terms of just 1.5 for phase one, just so.
And I understand that. Where we come from is in order to, we've anticipated three different construction windows. So essentially, we're anticipating three construction contracts. In order to fall within our funding for now, which is the 1.65, we can't let a contract for anything more than that. And so we have to move around the project components, if you will, the design the right components and try to make them fit this funding the best we can.
Okay.
And that, at the moment, you know, isn't an exact science.
Okay.
on how that gets done. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So for the $1.65 million that you're thinking phase one will be, you know, you've got funding of $1.65, but you're thinking that actually the most expedient way to come in, if you had your druthers, to complete phase one, your list of phase one, would require another $250,000 or $1.9.
I'm saying that the latest cost opinion that we have from the engineers is coming in at $1.9.
Okay.
And so with that, yes, there's always discussion. Again, this is a fairly high-level cost opinion. We haven't gone through design yet. So this is just a conceptual cost opinion. So there's always a process of trying to contain costs and keep them within, because although it's all one project, we don't have the money. Unless we have the money identified, then we can't let a contract. And so we always have to, at least in my mind, I always have to look at it as a segmented process in order to get to the final goal. So I think that 1.9, depending on the rest of the public comment and the final master plan, that can change. But I think that if you had to ask me right today if I thought that 1.9 was how close that was, I think that can come down a little bit. But I still don't know that. I don't think it could happen right now within the 1.65. So that's where we are, and that's how we would move forward with this.
I know that when I heard phase one, phase two, phase three, for a second I thought about the research parks, phase one, phase two.
You're already in phase three.
Yeah.
And so if I could, just a couple more things. I do have tentative approval now from all of the landowners necessary to run the R-38 connector trail from the research park over to R-38. And so we continue to kind of mature those discussions, and then we're starting to get into the details, but we have that kind of surface level approval from all those landowners now to go the preferred route. And so that's a big step right there. And so those discussions are mature, and I'm meeting with more of those landowners, in fact, first thing tomorrow morning to take those to the next level. So the way it's anticipated in the phasing right now is this first kind of construction window, i.e. phase one, would be the stream work and some of the earthwork. And then phase two would be the trail work. And so that's why, you know, the lion's share of the design costs for all three, because you have to design all three, is front-loaded. I mean, phase one is heavy on design because we have to design out all three. And so it's kind of disproportionate in that matter. And then phase two, of course, is the trail piece. Phase three would be coming in with the kind of the program elements, the kind of the built infrastructure in the park, maybe some lighting, some interpretive signage, those kinds of things in phase three, program areas, those kinds of things. And so that's how it's anticipated right now. It is a moving target, and we continue just to try to make it fit with what we have for funding or get more funding. Thus far, we've been able to acquire one grant for the project, and that was for some prairie seeding that came out of the pollinator. You've probably heard of the pollinator corridor emphasis, and so we got some pollinator funding for some seeding. We applied for another grant through IDOLS, through their watershed demonstration project, and we did not get that funding. And so we'll continue to try to look for other funding and leverage. I think that there are other opportunities, but at the moment we're trying to focus in on this first phase right now and see what we can do there.
Good questions.
Nothing. I enjoy when you come and see us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mark, did we cover everything?